The Gospel of John and the chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 25. John chapter 3, reading from verse 25 through to the end. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And they are, of course, referring to our Lord Jesus, that many were now coming to him. Verse 27, Jesus answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his word. I have been planning to bring a gospel message on this closing verse of the chapter in coming weeks. God willing, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But today I was struck by the words of verse 30. I think well known to us all, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, in the context, John the Baptist is speaking to his disciples. They, first of all, had a dispute, a discussion with some of the Jews. In verse 25, there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And remember, the baptism of John was really grounded upon the Old Testament ceremonies of washing. And undoubtedly, the question related to some of those issues. And so they brought this question. And there was this discussion between the disciples of John the Baptist and these Jews. But then John's disciples came to him in verse 26. And they said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And when we read those words, that they seem to suggest that the Lord Jesus was baptizing in the Jordan. The same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And that might strike us as unusual, since we don't read anywhere else of the Lord actually baptizing. But we get the explanation in the next chapter, John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And so it wasn't that Jesus was doing the baptizing, his disciples were, but as the disciples were under the Lord as far as authority was concerned, then it could of course be said that Jesus was baptizing. And so manager of a lawn company might say, I cut the grass of 50 lawns today, even though he never left his office desk. He's just speaking of his authority and the work that was done under him. Now, coming back then to the very matter that has been brought here, these disciples of John, they're saying, the one that you bore witness to, the one that you spoke so greatly of, look what has happened now. His ministry has grown and yours is diminishing. His popularity is growing and the crowds are no longer with you to the same degree. They are now following after this one called Jesus. And so they in their minds thought that they were siding with John. They wanted to protect his popularity. They were jealous for his position. They were jealous for his ministry. And they didn't want to see that ministry deserted. But they had misunderstood the very basics of the ministry of John. That John's ministry had never been about himself. John's ministry had never been about how many people can I have following me. John's ministry from the outset was about another, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And John goes on to explain this then, verse 29, ye yourselves bear me witness. And so they've already raised this issue of bearing witness. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And so we know from Ephesians 5 that the bride is the church. Christ is the bridegroom. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And John the Baptist was never to be the head of the church. The church was never to be built upon John the Baptist. In that whole scheme then, what was John the Baptist? John the Baptist is really saying, the best that I can claim is that I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And what a privilege John saw that to be. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. Now at a wedding, the best man or the groomsman does not desire, or certainly he shouldn't desire, all the attention to be on him. He may say wonderful things about the bridegroom. He rejoices perhaps in the promotion of the marriage that is taking place. And yet, he is quite happy to step back and to see the bridegroom have the limelight. And so John the Baptist is saying, this is what it is. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I'm pointing a people to Jesus Christ. And therefore, I am not to be jealous or bitter, but I rejoice greatly. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled, because my ministry is giving way to another. And it's in that context, then, that John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, this word increase, it has to do with growing or enlargement. Remember 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So there was that work where Paul was engaged in ministry among the Corinthian people, so was Apollos, but ultimately it was the Lord that gave the increase. It was the Lord that grew the work. It was the Lord that worked in souls. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. It's the same word, enlargement, increasing. Grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord. And I'll mention one more text, Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord. And there again, this is a picture of the church. Christ is building his church, and the building is growing as souls are being added. The building, the church is increasing. So I must increase. But then he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, though in English, evidently, these words are clearly opposite, and the Greek words are opposite, but not so clearly as we have here in our English language. This word decrease is only used in the New Testament in one other place, Hebrews 2, verses 7 and 9, where it has to do with being made lower. Made lower. And so really, what John is saying is, he must grow. He must increase. His kingdom must expand. But I must go down. I must go down. I must be made lower. Now, John is not merely acquiescing in this. John is not merely saying, this is the way it is, so I will put up with it. John rejoices in this. What he is witnessing is really the fulfillment of his very ministry. It was always to be that Christ would increase and he would decrease. And these words then are to be the desire of every Christian. From the pulpit down, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. A.W. Pink said, the more I am occupied with Christ, the less shall I be occupied with myself. And if we are consumed with the things of Christ, our desire will be, let all the honour be unto him. Let me be forgotten. During the Lord's ministry, there were times that the Lord's popularity did rise, and this is what the disciples of John are acknowledging. But of course, much of that popularity was fleeting. Remember that great climax of the Lord's popularity as he rode into Jerusalem, and the crowds were crying, Hosanna. But then within a matter of a few days, crowds in Jerusalem were crying, crucify him. So even though there was crowds here, there was something fickle about much that of that popularity. And yet the kingdom is to increase in reality. There will be a true heart, and there is a true heart work that is done. And therefore, this text abides in its relevance in that Christ and his kingdom is increasing, growing, expanding. But we, as we witness that, we are made lower. And we are crying, worthy is the Lamb. And of course, this will come to its great fulfillment when we're taken home to glory, where all the honour will be his, and we will cast ourselves at his feet. In the time that's left, I want us to ask the question, why must he increase? Why must he increase? First of all, I want you to see that he must increase because of God's decree. John's aim here in this whole section was to show that Christ was to increase because Jesus is the one that the Father had appointed as the Messiah. And so John the Baptist must decrease because John the Baptist was only a pointer. Now, in no way am I undervaluing the importance of John's ministry, but it fades into insignificance in comparison with our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 27, Jesus answered and said, a man can receive nothing. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. The word receive there, if you have a margin in your Bible, it may show you there that it can be translated. A man can take unto himself. And actually, it's the Greek word that has the idea, take hold of. Take hold of. And so, John the Baptist is saying that he, when he set out in his ministry, he didn't take hold of something that wasn't given to him. John took hold of what was given to him, but in a greater way. Christ took hold of what was given to him, appointed to him by the Father. That word at the end, verse 27, given, evidently is the idea of bestowal, what is given. And again, John had received, he had received the position as a forerunner, but Jesus had received the position of being the Messiah. In verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. John sent. But then in verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. There it's Jesus Christ. So John had been sent, yes, in a particular mission, but Christ had been sent with this ministry greater still. There was this decree, this eternal plan of God. And that word sent then becomes one of the key words in the Gospel of John. John 5, verse 36, I have greater witness than that of John. And of course, this relates back to the very passage that we're looking at. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, this is all the language of John 3, that the Father hath sent me. The Father hath sent me. John 6, 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And in chapter 7, verse 29, chapter 7, 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. In John 17, we have a number of times when the Lord spoke about that sending in his high priestly prayer. He was the one that had been sent. And so, when you think about verse 29, back in John 3:29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. John had been chosen as the bridegroom's friend. And that was important. But Christ was chosen as the bridegroom. Christ was chosen as the head. And therefore, Christ must increase. This was God's eternal decree. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now, sometimes we use that phrase earthly. We talk about something being sensual and having a sinful aspect to it. That's not what John is speaking of here. John is describing himself as being earthly in the sense that his birth was natural. Now, it was extraordinary, of course, in the sense of John the Baptist being born to Zacharias and Elizabeth in their old age. But nonetheless, it was a natural birth. But not Jesus Christ. His birth, his incarnation was because of heaven. In that sense, then, he that cometh from heaven is above all. Above all. Christ is far above all. We have those words later in the New Testament. Christ is far above all. therefore he must increase. It's God's decree. I want to see then, secondly, Christ must increase because of the fullness of the Spirit. In verse 34, he whom God hath sent, and remember, it's now speaking of Christ, he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, John the Baptist was a man that was filled of the Spirit, and yet it was by measure. Elijah had been a man that was full of the Spirit. Elisha had been a man that was full of the Spirit, and yet it was with measure. But in the case of Jesus Christ, there was this fullness of the Spirit without measure. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. There was absolutely no limitation. And of course, the great reason before that was there was no limitation on Christ's part to receive. So John the Baptist was limited, as you and I are, to receive, but Christ's humanity was sinless. Therefore, he received this great fullness. Thereby, he must increase. Think of the greatest Spirit-filled preachers down through history. And we rejoice for every Spirit-filled man that the Lord has been pleased to use. And yet, they would all say, he must increase, because the Spirit was poured out upon him without measure. Now, insofar as this relates to us today, the kingdom of Christ continues to increase. Christ continues to increase because the Spirit is poured out. So yes, today Christ is in glory. There is not a physical ministry of Jesus Christ on earth today. His body is in heaven. And yet, as the Spirit has come in fullness poured out at Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out to this end, that the kingdom would increase, and that you and I, less of us would be seen, more of Christ would be seen. He must increase because of God's decree, because of the fullness of the Spirit, and then, lastly, because of his authority. In verse 35, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And that giving, as the verse is making clear, given all things into his hand, is the evidence of the love. The Father loveth the Son. He is the dearly beloved Son. He is well beloved. He is the Son of the Father's love. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And these words, hath given all things into his hand, are one of the many, many references in the Gospel of John to our Lord's deity. The Lord could not, that is, the Father, could not give all things into the hand of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was not equal with God. John the Baptist was not God, and he could make no claim to deity. But since Jesus Christ is God, there's that equality with the Father, and the Father gave all things into his hand. Here is this essential deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was beautifully illustrated back in the story of Abraham. Remember how Abraham sent the servant to bring a bride for Isaac? And so it's the story of the Father sending out the servant, the Holy Spirit, to bring a people unto the Son, unto Jesus Christ. And remember, as the servant went, he took Some of those jewels that Abraham had given to Isaac. And the servant was able to testify in the house of Rebekah that Abraham has given everything into the hands of Isaac. And the bride then was invited to come to the groom, come to Isaac, share with him. And this, of course, is the gospel. The Father loveth the Son and giveth all things into his hand. Christ has received all, and the Spirit today, as the servant, is going out and he is wooing sinners. Come to the one that the Father has delighted to honour. Come to the Son and share with him. And yet, as we share with him, we say, he must increase. I must decrease. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And what a beautiful thing it is to see our position like that. And yet he must increase. I must decrease. I'll just bring a few points of application of this as we come to a close. And surely there's great encouragement in this great statement for us to pray, thy kingdom come. Remember, the Lord taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. And as the Lord has taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, here's the encouragement for you and I. We are to pray, let the kingdom of God advance. And there also surely here is to be a cause of grief that we are not seeing the increase that we long for. He must increase. And I've linked these words not only to Christ himself, but his kingdom. And tonight we must lament that we are not seeing the expanse of the kingdom. We bring that to the Lord. This is our yearning afresh. Thy kingdom come. And yet we take heart that the enemies of the gospel cannot ultimately overthrow the kingdom. For it will always be the case that Christ will increase. He and his kingdom are never frustrated. And lastly, surely there's a desire here for his word to grow in our hearts. He must increase. And our prayer and desire ought to be, let me grow in godliness, seeing him increase in my life, my own desires decreasing. May even the experience of John the Baptist pointing to Christ be true in our own lives, that we rejoice in seeing Christ honoured, our own name, as it were, being forgotten. We pray that the Lord will take his word and bless it to our hearts. Amen.